This episode of GameScoop is sponsored by Squarespace. If you're looking for a way to make your business stand out and succeed online, Squarespace is the all-in-one website platform for you. They take the stress out of creating an awesome website, engaging with your audience, and selling anything from products to content to time, so you're able to focus on, you know, everything else. In other words, you'll have more time for gaming. With the new guided design system, you can choose from curated layouts and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, optimized for every device. And with Squarespace's integrated, optimized SEO tools, you'll show up more often to more people. Squarespace doesn't just make things easier for you. Checkout for your customers is made seamless with simple but powerful payment tools that allow you to accept credit cards, PayPal, and Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and Clearpay. So whether you're just starting out or looking to expand your existing brand, be sure to visit squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/gamescoop to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. That's squarespace.com/gamescoop for 10% off. You know, when it comes to wireless carriers, sometimes what you see isn't always what you get. Except with Visible. With Visible, what you see is exactly what you get. If you haven't heard of Visible, well, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. With Visible, there are no hidden fees, no fine print, no hassle, nothing to hide. It's just $25 a month, all taxes and fees included. And you don't need more than one line of wireless to save. You can save on a line all to yourself with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. And again, just $25 a month. The future of wireless is here, and it is transparent. If you want more transparency in your wireless plan, you want to be on the Visible plan. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. That's Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. What's up, everybody? Welcome to IGN GameScoop. I'm your host, Damon Hatfield. Joining me this week is Justin Davis, Scoop. Andrew Goldfarb,
hello,
and Sam Claiborne.
Not the host, still
and
here.
And we have a great show for you this week. A huge show, so much to go over. We're going to talk about the tidal wave of games coming out this week. We're going to talk about
Tidal wave?
Yes. We're going to talk about the best video game prequels.
Ooh,
but first,
boy.
We have closed the door on another quarter of the year. We've entered the fourth quarter, which means
that checks out.
It's time for Game of the Year Watch.
They'll clean that up in post.
Yeah,
well, 100%. Game of the Year Watch. Let's run over the best reviewed games from the past quarter. The games that got a 9 or higher on IGN. What's maybe you saw already, but what you guys over here that aren't copying,
big, yeah, big fat cheating. Cheaters.
Yeah.
What's the best reviewed game
of the last
of the past quarter?
When does this go up?
Tomorrow, Thursday.
For sure.
For sure.
It might be Shadow of War.
No, it's not. It's not. We're gonna talk about Shadow of War. Shadow of War has gotten a 9.
I thought it got higher than that. Okay.
No.
Okay, so Hellblade isn't there somewhere?
Yeah, Hellblade.
By the way, the reason that these two are just a little bit weird about Shadow of War is as we record this, the review is being finished up right now. Yeah. But by the time it publishes,
here,
the review
I'll text
should
Dan
be
tell him to score it higher so I got that right.
Yeah. We'll fix that in post, too. Okay, Hellblade's up there.
Hellblade's up there.
There had to be something
but
else.
Not the highest scoring game.
That's not the highest scoring
think,
game.
Can I
get Star Fox 2.
This is a game that came out and everyone talked about it for a minute, and then the excitement kind of passed. But it did get a very high score.
Beautiful,
Pyre.
Beautiful artwork.
Pyre.
Forgot about Pyre.
9.7 from IGN. Followed by Divinity: Original Sin 2, a big favorite of Justin's that he's been playing recently. Yeah. I got a 9.6.
1/100th worse mathematically.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. That checks out. Mm-hmm. I'm very excited to play Divinity Original Sin 2 when it eventually comes to consoles one of these days. Then you got Project Cars 2, which got a 9.2.
It's a very competitive year for racing games.
I mean,
it sounds like Luke likes Forza a lot right now.
9.2.
Yeah.
That's
well,
a really
didn't
good score for a driving game.
Isn't that also what we gave Forza 7? 9.2?
That sounds right.
I think
I
that's
didn't
also
that
correct.
Yeah. Sounds right.
And also PES 2018.
Did he review them both?
I think he's doing everything. I think he's doing all the driving games.
Talking about Luke in our Australian office.
Luke Riley in our Australian office is a racing game mega fan, plays them all, so often he ends up being the person that reviews them. And I want to say, Luke, that if you gave both Forza and Project Cars a 9.2...
What if he just kind of a... Because there's also Need for Speed and GT Sport coming.
They just all get a 9.2. It's like kind of...
Need for Speed isn't really in the same boat. It's more of an action.
That's true. It has cars in it.
I mean, Gran Turismo.
It's not a racing sim.
Yeah, fair. Fair.
I think it's a little bit of a cop out.
What?
To give them both a 9.2.
Well, we don't know for sure whether or not he reviewed them both. So let's not throw him under the Australian bus.
There's a lot of fact checking.
What is an Australian bus?
Australian bus is the fifth racing game coming out this year.
Everything's reversed.
More of a bus.
And they drive.
Steering wheels in the back of the bus
and upside down.
It's so stupid. I love it.
Pez 2018 also got a 9.2. I think they finally turned the Pez
Pro
train around.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's so funny.
They've been bad for a few years.
You know, Pez was. I mean, it's like a flavors. So some people always preferred Pez, but generally speaking, most people really liked FIFA. That was the king of the castle. It was the what do we call it? The footy?
The kicky. They call it kicky.
It was the kicky king. But now FIFA seems to have fallen off a little bit, and Pez seems to be the reigning kicky champ.
It's so funny how other sports games have that. Like, obviously Madden's football fine, but like, it's funny how like the soccer games go back and forth, and then like you look at NBA and it's like not even close. Like,
no.
It's like NBA Live has never touched NBA 2K.
EA keeps trying, but goodness gracious, they can't quite get it.
It's just weird because at one point Mega Man Soccer was the best.
That's true. Yeah, it's the most realistic for
Mega Man Soccer and Sega Soccer Slam.
Yeah, and Mario Strikers Charge.
We're talking about Mega Man Soccer anymore.
It's true. One of the great tragedies of our time, I would say.
Totally Warhammer 2 got a 9.1, and then a few games got what? Yeah.
A better title.
You think it's got a 9. Hellblade got a 9, and as well as Shadow of War, which we can talk about briefly. I've been playing it. Has anyone else here been playing Shadow of War?
I want to.
I like it. You like it?
Yeah, I like the game. It's some of the worst dialogue I've ever experienced.
Really?
Pay attention to the beginning of it, because it was easy for me to tune it out. But oh my gosh, like everything was so dumb.
Isn't Shelob a lady?
Shelob's a lady.
Yeah.
Gollum's voiced really well.
Gollum is voiced really well, but I don't think he's animated that well. In fact, I don't think any of the
people don't look good.
People don't look good.
You guys are really making this sound
Wait. You both love the game, so I'd like to hear.
We started on the criticism.
The problem, guys, is that I've only played 2 hours of cutscenes, so that's all I can judge. Now I'm finally in the open world.
Like, did you just watch the Lord of the Rings movie by mistake?
It's so story heavy. It's sub-Hobbit in like acting.
Sub-Hobbit.
Like
that's
like
not good.
Brutal. But now that I'm in the open world, it's back. It feels like a great Shadow of War game.
It feels a lot like the first game, which is good if you like the first game, and I did. It feels very similar. Several hours into it, I'm like level like 7 now. And I think, once again, the best part of the game is the nemesis system. Like, it's so much fun to interrogate an orc then gather intel, track down the captain, exploit his weaknesses, defeat him, choose your next target.
They can, like, do crazy stuff, like bounce back from the dead without you knowing.
Yeah, they added more.
Or like, you know, there's always that shame thing where you could shame an orc, kill it, or
you can,
it, now it can sh- they can shame you.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
instead
so
of
smart.
Killing you, they'll just shame you.
I mean, Marty was talking about like he killed a guy with a throwing dagger, and then the next time he saw him, he like had the dagger like in his head.
That's
like, that's
awesome.
So cool.
Yeah. It's cool. There's just so many orcs.
The sandbox is really the orcs.
That was actually the original name of the game.
So many orcs.
Orcs.
Instead of tracking them, now you can
more orcs.
Instead of tracking them, you can now send them death threats, and they'll come find you, but they'll be stronger.
Whoa!
It's awesome.
Wow, that's really smart.
It's totally like, and it's also totally a modern open world game, much like Horizon and Far Cry, where you have your main story thrust, but then there's just so much to do that you're constantly being distracted and getting sidetracked. And I don't say that as a criticism. I think that's really fun. Like, before I go and do my next side quest, there's like a monument over here. The Dark Lord's a monument that I need to destroy.
Boy,
I'll take care of that first.
It's like utterly blasphemous in terms of like Tolkien lore.
Oh yeah,
it's
for
just
sure.
such a disaster, and it's fine because it's a video game, and I understand that I love Tolkien. But if you are a Tolkien fan, there is a reason to play it. You get to like kind of see places close up that Peter Jackson designed really well for his movies, Minas Tirith, and it looks really not Minas Tirith.
Morgul.
It's another one.
Yeah, they call
another Gondor city.
Yeah, but it's the, you know, the entrance to Mordor, and it's so cool.
Yeah, I think the audio is great, the music's great. It sounds like the Lord of the Rings movies. It's really cool. But I visually though, I don't think it's up to par with 2017 games like Horizon or Uncharted Lost Legacy or Resident Evil 7. Well, that's not an open world game, but still, it's not one of the pretty games of 2017. I don't think. And I think people's faces lack detail, and they're not animated very well, and Gollum looks like Gollum in like the mid-2000s movie tie-in games. Like he doesn't look that impressive.
So well.
But he's acted it really well. You would think it's Andy Serkis, but
I don't know.
He's not the actor.
Everybody has a friend that
I looked it up on IMDb last night, and the actor that plays Gollum is not listed, so I don't know yet.
Ooh. That's really strange.
Justin, can you finally say that it was your performance, or is that still under embargo?
I mean, no.
Scoop.
Can we hear your best Gollum impression?
No. No, not yet.
But that's Shadow of War. It got a 9. And I think that's all the games that got a 9 or higher in the past quarter. Pyre, Divinity Original Sin 2, Project Cars 2, Forza 7, PES 2018, Totally Warhammer 2, Hellblade, and Shadow of War.
Great, man. Pyre was really good. I still stand by. I said for a hot minute, and I remember we talked about this on Scoop, I thought that Pyre was like right up there with Zelda in the Game of the Year hunt for me. And it's fallen off that tier a little bit. But man, that game has a lot of good ideas.
Now it's Zelda and Golf Story, right?
Yeah, Zelda, Persona, Divinity. Good year for
RPGs. Are you that high on Golf Story? I really like it so far, but I don't think I'm that
high. I'm not that high on Golf Story. It's a really excellent
game. Trying to make a goof, but.
Yeah, it's a really excellent game. It's not in the Game of the Year.
I would accept an argument that that's like a Game of the Year contender. I think it's really smart. I'm just not.
I rolled my eyes. You can hear it on camera.
Oh, what, Golf Story?
Yeah.
You hate it? Or
no, it's just like.
I'm not saying I think that. Cool? I'm just like, I can see someone liking it that much. Like it hooked me really deep. I don't know.
They're
like,
on staff. They're in trouble.
My thing is like Stardew Valley comes out tomorrow.
It's a great
game.
I'm
making
fun of the game. Yeah. Like all of the charm of Golf Story, I think, will immediately be replaced by all the charm of Stardew Valley.
Well, I actually think everyone plays up Golf Stories. They talk about how warm the storyline is and how it's sort of Earthbound-esque. And it's, I actually don't sense that. Like the plot is that you have this really, really nasty ex-wife that you're trying to get away from. And she comes back into the story and like taunts you during your golf tournaments. And it's like, look at my new boyfriend. Look at this. And I'm like,
wait, so the very beginning of the game, and this isn't like a spoiler, there's like a time jump. And like, I didn't know if that was supposed to be your mom or your sister or your girlfriend or your current wife. Like, at the beginning of the game, I had no idea who that was.
It was just a mean lady.
Yeah, there's just a woman who's like, you're going to play golf.
I think the gameplay is really, really nostalgic and clever and fun. And I love, like, they wring so much more out of like hitting a golf ball than you would think possible. Like, all the clever stuff you have to do with it. I really love the game. I'm playing it every evening. From a story perspective, I don't understand the praise there at all.
Interesting.
Well, let's recap the Game of the Year contenders for the whole year so far. I'm going to run down every game IGN has given a 9 or higher in 2017, and it will include some things that I think are obviously not going to be in the running when it comes time to come up with our list of nominees. But
obviously
let's is MLB The Show going to be Game of the Year for IGN? Let's just be honest.
Fair point.
But here we go. Of course, we only gave 1/10 this year, Legend of Zelda, Breath of the Wild. Mm-hmm. Empire, Persona 5, it's also a 9.7. That's tied for second place, or second highest.
Two thumbs down?
No, I'm pointing to my shirt. No, two thumbs up. What have I done?
You can't say two thumbs up.
Divinity 2, Neo, got a 9.6 earlier this year.
Need to play Neo, God. Yeah.
MLB The Show got a 9.5. Tekken 7 also got a 9.5. Mm. Best reviewed fighting game of the year. Horizon Zero Dawn is a 9.3. Dirt 4. Here's all these car games. Dirt 4, Project Cars 2, Forza 7, all 9.2s. Yeah. PES 2018, Totally Warhammer 2, then Hellblade.
Warhammer 2.
What?
I'm not sure if you're joking or not when you call it that.
It's the game. Totally Warhammer.
All right.
Hellblade, Injustice 2.
Yeah.
And Shadow of War.
I think there's a couple that are like right on the cusp. Like I think we gave Nier Automata like an 8.9. I know there are a lot of like huge fans of that in the office. So like maybe that bubbles up. There's like stuff like that.
Game of the Year. I mean, it's interesting that sometimes people ask why doesn't it exactly match your review score, like the 10 games. The answer is Game of the Year is a decision amongst everyone on staff, whereas an individual reviewer reviews a game. But the answer is also, you know, we obviously do our best to make our game reviews as accurate and comprehensive as possible. But I'm always really fascinated by the esteem of a game kind of climbing or falling as months or years pass. And sometimes there's games that everyone, not just IGN, but universally were loved. And then 6 months later, everyone's kind of like, oh, like the spell wears off. Yeah. But then sometimes a game like Persona 5 that definitely doesn't seem to be the case, like even with months of it, that game being in the rearview mirror, everyone, like its esteem is kind of seems to be growing.
Yeah, so. And I think Zelda
and like,
also.
And like, Nier, yeah, I mean, Nier is the one that, like, you know, seems to have people slept on a little bit, and now it's picked up over time.
It's that weird thing where, like, games that come out at the beginning of the year, you kind of forget by the end of the year. Yeah. So, like, I think The Witness was probably heard by that last year, that by, you know, December, no one was thinking about February again.
Neo's in that boat, and we'll have to make sure as a staff, we'll have to really make sure that Horizon gets its fair.
Which is why I think they just announced today they have a complete edition coming out in early December.
I think that's really smart. I think,
remind everybody.
I mean, people keep saying that, like, oh, it's Zelda's year. Zelda's definitely going to win. Like, I think Zelda and Mario are going to split votes, and that there could be, like, a dark horse thing that comes up. Like, if there's a game like Horizon that gets enough second place votes from people, like, and Mario and Zelda split first place, you never know.
We'll make sure one of them wins.
Fair.
It's a totally strong year. I think for me, Zelda still stands out to me as being the real like significant gaming experience that I've had this year.
Yeah, there's contrarians in the office that feel
it's totally fine
about Zelda. I guess they feel strongly about other games, but nobody is like, man, Zelda.
I don't know
why you guys like that game so much. We actually have. I don't think anybody thinks that way.
I don't think so.
I absolutely adore that game. It's still my game of the year front runner and from one of my favorite games of this generation. But I suspect that as the years go by, people's opinion on that game will change. They'll say, man, you spend a lot of time kind of running around not doing much. I miss the lack of the dungeons. I miss the boss fights. Like,
and I think somebody will take all the cool new things that Breath of the Wild does and sort of improve and around.
I mean, I hope Breath of the Wild 2 does that. Like, give us like 8 really intricate, crazy dungeons and, you know, but still give us that Breath of the Wild openness.
I want them to use that engine and make more Zelda games. Yep. Like, I would be if you watch all the like crazy shrine skips and physics stuff you can do, like, make like a crazy, I don't know, like a Triforce Hero style multiplayer game, but like with that engine, I would totally play.
Single based,
exactly. Yeah. Just 3 tingles.
Oh yeah, they're supposed to, the second downloadable content drop for Breath of the Wild is supposed to be this later this year too.
They didn't mention it in the in that big direct like a week or so ago or a couple weeks ago.
It'll have its own direct.
Yeah, maybe. To me, the fact that they gave the amiibo a release date and not the DLC means it's going to slip into next year.
Interesting.
That's my guess.
Sucks.
I also really liked Persona 5 as well. I think it's a very impressive game, even though I didn't finish it. But it's just got such a cool style. It's a huge, gigantic game that you can get lost in, and people, you know,
one
people
of the most
are really
stylish games ever made
behind that game too.
It really is, and I think people, it's hard. It's such a time investment. Like the low end of that game is 100 hours, so it's like it's really hard getting people to play through it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's it's a very. You can get through that game in 70 hours.
Is there a speedrun?
Yeah. Yeah, I bet the speedrun probably is. I don't know. I've played that game 5 times through now, and it's like in my like cleaning up trophies playthrough when I played on like very easy and fast forwarded through dialogue, I still think it was like a few dozen hours getting through it.
I mean, you can skip dialogues and stuff, so the actual literal speed run time is not
probably
indicative
really low.
Of
Pyre is a very cool game. I don't really see it being on the same level as Zelda and Persona 5. For me,
I mean, maybe
kind of a smaller, more modest.
I think it's cool that like last year Firewatch got nominated by us, and that's a game that was like really small and probably didn't really have a chance against like the heavy hitters. But I think I think it's a cool. Pyre will get some kind of recognition. I don't know which award it could get.
Both that and Nidhogg, like they had chances
Nidhogg 2?
To take. Yeah, Nidhogg 2 to have chances to take off like a Rocket League or something. But as far as I can tell, they didn't.
Yeah.
So even though we like them. Internally as a staff, I think there was a lot bigger expectation for the public attaching to them and them being really big, and they just didn't.
Yeah.
I think I like Pyre more than most people. Like the confidence in its vision and the cohesiveness of the gameplay and story and art all interacting in a way that felt like they were in lockstep in a way that few games are. Man, I don't have enough good things to say about that game.
Or about Divinity 2.
I like
by all accounts, you like it more. Interesting. Yeah. Divinity 2 is by all accounts one of the best modern RPGs, but it is it's a time investment, and it's also stuck on PC for now, so that could hurt it like come later this year.
Yeah, Divinity 2 is just an immaculate computer RPG, right? If you have any interest in those sorts of games, you really owe it to yourself to play it. Really excellent, really like a really interesting mix of like that classic, you know, overhead perspective and gameplay, but it has a lot of new ideas to it as well, both in role playing and in combat. For me, I did fall off it because the combat is turn-based, and just I personally prefer real-time with pause. But the other thing about the turn-based combat is it means it takes a long, long time to get through. You know, you take a turn, and they take a turn, you take a turn, they take a turn. And then you go to town and talk to everybody. And in like 90 minutes, I will have done like two combats and visited town. And like that's what I accomplished in that big chunk of time. And so as a result, I kind of put Divinity 2 down and picked up stuff like Golf Story. But
dude, the inventory in that game is crazy.
It was crazy in the first game. Hopefully they simplified it a little bit, but
I don't remember how.
At least on
I was doing
managing
some
it on
game help stuff with it, just helping out. Yeah. And like people were bringing up their inventory and it was like a billion fruit.
Yeah. Managing it on console with a controller was pretty cumbersome. I'm sure it's better on PC.
Yeah, I'm playing on PC with a controller and I didn't encounter any major issues besides like each individual party member having a separate inventory was kind of a
That's true.
It's fascinating to me how many games, and I'm guilty of this too, but how many games are just really long this year? And I guess it's maybe every year, but like very few people are going to be able to beat these like 1,000 hour
big games
RPGs.
Are back for sure. Like the industry definitely, there's always exceptions, but you know, big picture, I think the industry swung away from that for a few years.
I agree.
Definitely not in 2017.
I'm more than 200 hours into Zelda and still haven't beaten it. I'm inadvertently
Wait,
doing.
You haven't beaten Ganon?
Yeah. Wow. Like I'm inadvertently doing 100% run. I beat every single side quest. I have every Korok seed. I'm only through the first two of the Master Trials, but like, I think I'm just going to do a proper 100% run of that game.
You survived the second, the medium.
I did the beginning and the medium. Yeah. I haven't tried the hard yet because I was doing them on flights. So next time I fly, I'll try the hard one.
Tom Hardy plays that game too.
Neo also has a very high score, 9.6. We'll see how people are feeling about that when it comes time to nominate games for Game of the Year.
Here's what I respect about Neo. I don't like Dark Souls games. Mm-hmm. They're not for me. I don't need to dwell on that anymore. I talked about it on the show before. But what I like about this is it's the first game. There's been all kinds of clones and copies and games that take that combat and like, look, it's like Dark Souls, but sci-fi. And this is the first one to put like a spin on it that I think has like a lot of value outside of that. And it's the first one that like builds on that sort of gameplay, that third person, brutally hard action RPG as like a genre. Like having like a loot loop and like the randomly generated nature of it is really clever. And I respect the heck out of it for that. And I hope more games, instead of just trying to be Dark Souls but blank, instead, you know, build on that foundation in a way with new, fresh gameplay systems and ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then Shadow of War, you know, Dan gave it a 9. My experience with it so far, after playing it several nights this week, it doesn't seem like a 9 to me right now. I haven't finished the game. But I would say I think it's apparent that it doesn't have the polish of some of the other games on this list. And even though it's super fun, it's a lot of more of the same, not
There's
doing a lot that's
promise
new.
Promise of like goofy, cool, randomized fun in that game, and that's awesome.
Yeah,
super but fun. It doesn't.
I just don't know if it's
going to. It's this like big masterpiece.
Yeah,
game.
Yeah. I don't know if it's going to stand up to some of the other games we've been talking.
Do you think it does enough new? Or
that's what I was just saying.
Like, dude, it's
not so far
exactly like the other game,
which is like
it just has more options. There's a little bit more of everything. Mm. Like when you just were running around, I'm like, oh yeah, I haven't played this game in 3 years, and I remember it all. I know exactly what to do in combat, like everything. It's really funny.
Yeah. My muscle memory came back to me. Yep. It also reminded me, it took me back. I played that game when I was like out after I broke my collarbone for a few weeks. Yeah. So it like totally took me back to that. I was just home and I couldn't move my arm. I'm like, that's great.
I love that you still play it like that.
Just that magnet.
Pop out the old sling.
Still to come this year, still big games to come this year over the next quarter. Evil Within 2. South Park, The Butt Game, Assassin's Creed Origins, Super Mario Odyssey, Wolfenstein 2, Bubsy, The Woolies Strike Back.
Finally.
Call of Duty World War II, Battlefront 2, Need for Speed Payback, and of course, Tokyo Tattoo Girls.
Ooh. Yeah, so we'll talk about that one after the show.
Please be excited for the games. Big games still to come this year. Andrew.
Xenoblade.
Which one?
Xenoblade.
Oh, yeah, Xenoblade.
Oh, yeah, did that actually get a release date?
Yes. December,
December 1st. Or 2nd.
Yeah. So that's up there, too, for the Switch.
The game looks really cool.
It's going to be another gigantic one, too, in terms of just length.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, it's true. No, it's true. And speaking of The Evil Within 2, Andrew, you've been getting solicited packages in the mail this week.
Yeah, Bethesda has sent me every day this week a cryptic bad luck object, basically. So I got a black cat on the first day, which is one of the save cats from Evil Within.
A real cat?
A real black
cat. An actual black cat. No, it's a stuffed one. Not like taxidermy, like it's a plush toy of a black cat with red eyes, and then they sent a broken mirror, And then today they sent me an umbrella. And it was like, they all come with these little cute notes. And it's like, don't open the umbrella inside. And like the cat said blah, 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 something. And then the word evil was underlined. And the mirror said like something, something, something within.
You know,
and
it
was
underlined.
Oh, I mean, the return address. But I mean, the thing that's funny is, I was saying to Damon earlier, like, we do this thing where we like expect more of these. So like we thought there were like hidden clues. So the mirror has the word within. And so like Caleb like took a knife and like popped off the broken mirror to see if there's anything. There's not. And like, I like opened the umbrella and like looked at it. There's nothing in it. Like they're just like sending household items.
That one's next week. Is that right?
Yeah, next week.
Yeah.
Everyone expects crazy. Everything to be an alternate reality game.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, let's talk about the games that are out this week. Forza 7, as we mentioned, the 9.2 scoring game is out this week, as well as Just Dance 2018.
Woo!
They are still making Just Dance
for
games.
For Wii?
Everybody. Probably for everything.
Yeah.
I think it's on Wii U.
I don't probably. Know. It was skipping Wii U, but it was still on the Wii.
It did end up coming to both.
Maybe it just didn't have the logo.
Yeah. But yeah, that it was still coming to Wii as of, I think, last year.
So cool.
Battle Chasers Night War is out this week. PS4, Xbox One, and PC is coming to Switch later this month. And this
I really want to play that.
We gave it an 8.
We gave it a great 0.0, and this is the modern JRPG-style game based on the comic series from the comic artist whose name escapes me, but also did the art for Darksiders.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it looks like Darksiders.
Yeah.
But it's more
of like a top-down...
It's
traditional JRPG.
It's another Kickstarter game. Like, this is from so long ago, and like we wrote about the campaign years ago, and now it's out. It's like so crazy to me seeing like Mighty Number 9 and that, and A Hat in Time's coming. Like, it's cool seeing these games come, especially to Switch.
I think A Hat in Time is out, what, tomorrow?
Yeah, so at least on PC.
Yeah.
Which one's A Hat in Time?
The 3D platformer. They kickstarted, like, everyone kickstarted like pixel art 2D games for a while, and this is like kickstarting
like
Banjo-Kazooie.
Like Yooka-Laylee. Yeah.
I think even more so than Yooka-Laylee. Like, it is a genuine N64 throwback. Like, it looks completely out of that era.
Is it good? Is it supposed to be good?
Alana played at Gamescom and really liked it.
All right.
So many
I backed it.
Games this year.
I backed it so long ago. I backed it, what, like 4 years ago?
You backed A Hat in Time?
I backed for like $80. I got like the physical N64 box.
Wow.
All right, also out this week, Battle Gurega Rev 2016 is a remake of a vertically scrolling shooter from 1996.
Mm.
It's out on PS4 and Xbox One.
A Saturn game?
It was an arcade game. From that time, sure, it probably likely and appeared on Saturn.
That would have been such a good 20 questions one.
Yeah, that would have been good. If you're like fans of like Ikaruga, Radiant Silvergun, those style games.
Who isn't?
Right? I mean... Dragon's Dogma Dark Arisen is on PS4 and Xbox One this week, and this is the expanded and enhanced version of Dragon's Dogma that's been out on PC for a year or so.
I hear so many good things about Dragon's Dogma, which I've never played.
I liked the original Dragon's Dogma back in the day. I thought that game was really cool.
Longest time I had that game, I just conflated it in my head with what's the one that's like all QTEs?
Asura's Wrath.
Asura's Wrath.
Yeah.
I just thought...
It came out like right at the same time.
Yeah, but Dragon's Dogma is for lack of a better term, it's like Skyrim-like, right? Like big open world, but you're running around killing stuff in a fantasy land.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, it's cool. When was the last time... Capcom came out with two like new IP games in the same year.
Yeah.
On the GameCube, they had four.
Yeah.
I've had Dragon's Dogma, this Asura's Wrath Edition, downloaded on my computer for months.
The Dark Arisen.
Oh, jeez.
There's not an Asura's Wrath
He's
Edition.
He's done it again.
The crossover you didn't expect.
Actually.
Yeah, it's one of those games that every time I boot up Steam, I see it there, and I'm like, is tonight the night I start it? And then I just never have.
Also, you just reminded me that one thing we didn't mention is Skyrim on Switch, which is probably not going to win Game of the Year, but it is crazy to me that that's
It's just another big game.
Yeah.
Coming out this year.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Switch ports are crazy right now with Stardew Valley.
Is Doom this year also?
They said holiday,
It'll be cool having those all on your Switch. And then but this week it's Stardew
Axiom Verge.
Yeah, hold on. You're jumping way ahead of here. Yep. We're not there. Let Them Come is out this week. I saw this game at a PAX East years ago. It's finally out now on Xbox One and PC. You guys familiar with this one?
Mm-mm. I remember that name, but I can't.
They call it a pixel art shoot 'em up, and it's basically the turret scene from Aliens when they set up the turrets and the aliens are
Let Them Come.
Yeah, it's basically that. It's like a 2D. You're in a 2D corridor on one side of the screen. Hordes of aliens are spawning from the other side, and you have to fend them off as long as you can. Mm-hmm. I don't know how they keep that going very long in a game, but
it actually has
a cool look to it. No, it's side. It's a side view,
like the levels in Contra.
But you're stationary. You're stationary trying to fend off as many
what platforms?
Xbox One and PC.
Mm. Get it on Switch, man.
I know.
Yeah.
Way Forward, the developers of Shantae, numerous other games. Their game Mystic Bell is on PS4 and Xbox One this week. And this is it's an action platformer that's already on Steam. Been on Steam for a couple of years. But they're known for having great pixel art in their games.
I really like the Shantae games. I feel like literally every time I turn around, there's another new one. Like it's like crazy.
Yeah. Well, the most recent Shantae that's on Switch, I guess, on other platforms.
That was
a remake of the original one that was on Game Boy Color. Yeah,
that's part of what makes it a little bit confusing is that they remake them and port them, and then they're constantly.
Yeah. And that game's really fun. Like, I played through a bunch of that on I guess, Vita, which is crazy.
Then there's a game called Jidge on PS4 this week. J-Y-D-G-E.
You got to really hit that D-G-E hard.
Jidge. And it says, the official description is, Jidge is a lawful but awful rogue hate top-down shooter where you get to build your own cybernetic Jidge and eradicate crime in the never-sleeping megacity of Edinburgh. So what is a rogue hate game? What does that even mean?
Well, obviously it's a play
it's
on rogue-like.
It's all Jidge to me.
It sounds what?
It's all Jidge to me.
That is on
PS4 this week.
Wow, that's a name.
And as you were saying, more and more games coming to Switch every week. Stardew Valley is out on Switch.
I'm so excited to play that.
I'm going
to
wreck it.
I want to play that game too, but I still haven't played SteamWorld Dig 2. And I'm flying to Austin this weekend to visit Tyson Root.
Oh, boy.
And I'm going to play SteamWorld Dig 2 on the
plane. How lucky for both of you to enjoy each other's company.
I know. I'm really excited.
It's Stardew, Axiom Verge, and Oxenfree. All three really great fits for the platform, by the way. Like, my thing with Stardew is, like, I've played that game twice, and it's like, I don't know. Like, do I buy it a third time and, like, go down that rabbit hole?
I feel about Skyrim.
Switch.
There are so many games like that. It's like, are you going to buy it again? It's worth it. You'll get your time out of it.
Well, but the thing about Stardew is, like, it's really the perfect fit for, like, the Switch form factor and pop in and play one day and pop back out. Like, it's a really, really great fit for that platform. So it's like, I think I'm saying I don't know, but in the back of my head, it's like, buy it.
Yeah.
So I think I already know I'm going
to. And then there are three 3DS games out this week.
Whoa.
Stop. I know. Cul-de-sept Revolt.
There's another Cul-de-sept coming out.
Cul-de-sept Revolt
is
what?
Here.
Stop in the U.S.
In the U.S., yeah.
It's coming out. There's Cul-de-sept coming out here?
Yeah. On 3DS.
Oh!
I mean.
Yeah, that makes me so happy.
There was like one review on Metacritic.
It has
a 7.
Yeah, but they don't know. They don't know. How disappointing was the 360 one?
I know, we've talked about it here before.
Oh, yes. Damon, I feel like you and I are the only two people on Earth are big Cult-sept.
A board game, a dice-rolling board game, and slash card game, fantasy
Cult-sept
setting.
It's a little bit like Monopoly, where you're moving around a board and buying up territory, but you place RPG-style monsters on your territory to defend it, that then if when you go around the board and you land on another person's territory, you have to fight them, and you fight them with like Magic the Gathering style cards that you draw. So it's like a card game slash.
How are the mini games?
I mean, that is the game. They're not mini games.
Mini games.
No,
you're just
not mini
being
games.
You're just being a.
No, he's our Mario Party expert.
And Cult-sept came to Xbox, OG Xbox or PS1? I mean,
I played
generation.
It on 360. But
the original.
Well, I played the one that was on 360.
And did you like it?
No, that was the one that was broken.
Oh, yeah. Because I found the 360 one so disappointing. Yeah. And
There have been a bunch of them on DS, I believe, that just didn't come here.
Didn't get localized.
Yeah.
Man, I thought for sure my 3DS was done. Do we have a copy?
Ask me.
I can't be on the rest of the show. I gotta go.
Come in.
I genuinely, it's this weird, quirky Japanese thing, and I think about it and miss it like time.
I'll get you a code. It's my personal mission.
It's up there with like Phantom Dust as like a cult classic, really beloved game, and. Man, I didn't know it was coming out.
There's a new one on 3DS. It's made your whole week.
Ooh.
Mario and Luigi. Mario and Luigi Superstar Saga is on 3DS.
The remake.
This week.
Yeah.
That's another one. Like, I love Superstar Saga. I'm not going to play it on 3DS. I would totally play that again on Switch.
Superstar Saga?
Yeah. I like Mario and Luigi.
Is it a remake? Is it a port? Or like, what's
it's
the story
a,
with
it's
the.
It's a remake.
Yeah. An enhanced version of
the
GBA
like the
game.
Sprites look better. Yeah.
Do we know. I guess I'll have to read up myself. I guess I don't even recall reading about, like, I don't know, like, the bullet points of what's
that one got announced
about
at E3 on the stream, so you were probably running around.
Yeah.
And there's a bonus game in it.
Yeah.
Superstar Saga's really good. That's the one that had the...
It is that I think.
Why are you shaking your head?
It's not a good game.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it is. That's
super
really great
slow
one.
Turn-based RPG.
I think
that's
of
the one
Mario
that had
Luigi
the fun
games.
Combat system.
Yeah,
it's fun at the beginning, and then you're like, okay, I've jumped on this turtle 600 times now. It's Sam. Like that game is so repetitive.
I have Sam. Always liked Mario and Luigi more than Paper Mario.
Well, they're very similar.
Yeah.
And both are worse than Mario RPG.
But
I was just going to say, none of them are as good as the original Mario RPG.
Yep.
I hear Bowser's Inside Story is the one to play. I played the first
See,
two.
I think Superstar Saga is the one.
Yeah, Partners in Time and Superstar Saga.
Sam, IGN Italia gave Superstar Saga an 8.5.
Great.
All right. That's all the scoops for this week.
Layton's Mystery Journey is also out this week.
Which is weird because that was out on iOS a while back.
It's Lady
and now
Layton.
It's just, it's Lady
Layton. Yeah, it was originally Lady Layton, and then the blowback for that name, they changed it to Layton's Mystery Journey.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Why is that? Why was there blowback?
There is something I don't remember specifically because it wasn't just called Lady Layton. It was Lady Layton something.
Is it really called Lady Layton?
Maybe she didn't.
It stars
her
Professor
title.
Layton's.
I know, but it's
niece.
Not called Lady Layton, is it?
It was.
Yeah. Oh,
was that the actual title?
Yeah.
It's Professor Layton's daughter.
Niece. I understand that.
No, but like she's a blood relative of the Professor Layton.
She's a duchess.
She's a jidge?
Stop.
I'd so everyone associates, an honorific.
Everyone associates Professor Layton with, Nintendo.
I got it.
But it's actually level 5, right? And Nintendo just published a few of them. And so this is the first one. They've been sort of flirting with iOS and mobile for a while. But now this one actually hit iOS first, and it was like $17.
Like flirting using iOS?
Flirting,
like,
yeah.
Setting like cute little like, hey,
now,
you
if
up?
If you want to own it physically, you can buy it on 3DS.
Yep. But they still haven't brought over Detective Pikachu. What's up with that? Like the one 3DS game I want. Just give it to me.
The one 3DS game you want.
I really love my 3DS. I have so many things. I'll never get rid of it because I have great saves on there from games I love. I never want to open it ever again, honestly.
I have the Switch. Yeah. I only want to play the Switch.
I played Ever Oasis on the 3DS a while back, and it was hard. Like I just hadn't opened it in probably a year. And after playing like so much Switch, just like the screen is like a little bit dim and grainy. And
I just put 50 or I'm like 45 hours into Danganronpa 3 on Vita. And I'm like, this is by far the last time I'm going to put this much time into a Vita game. And it feels
until
weird.
They put out a weird Persona game for Vita.
Well, that's true. Persona Dancing is probably my next one. Yeah. Yeah, that's a solid point.
Is that coming to both?
Oh, no. I think Persona Q2 is also on 3DS.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Yeah. Tough. All right. I think that's all the big games out this week. Let's move on to a big game that was in the news last week. We got the second trailer for Red Dead Redemption 2.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, give me your thoughts on the trailer.
Completely forgot about that trailer.
It happened.
It's very short.
It was shorter than we were expecting.
I'm excited that they confirmed some stuff. Like I'm excited that we know it's a prequel. They hinted at John Marston being in the game, which is cool. When they say they need one more gun. Mm-hmm. Like I think that stuff is cool. I think I mentioned this beyond too, like every other publisher must have been so annoyed that they didn't give a date because everyone needs to scurry when they announce that date. Yeah.
I think it looked gorgeous and great. I mean, it was a game. I think it was a mistake for them to like hype up,
they should have just 2 minute
released
game it.
They just put the trailer out. But I mean, the game's going to be beautiful and awesome.
Yeah. They did confirm that it is a prequel. Mm-hmm. We'll be following Dutch's gang in the old days.
I'm worried about the setting.
The Eastern.
Yeah, I think a Western should take place in the desert. Mm. I think I'm going to miss like those crazy rock formations and at sunset and the idea of the Mexican border and what it's like down there and the idea of like having, there was like hidden treasure in that game from like conquistadors and like this cool like connection to history and the mysteries of the Western past. And, like the Midwest is the Midwest. Like it's going to have, the Great Plains. It'll be very pretty. But it's not the same, right?
Yeah.
It's going to have the Rockies, it looks like. That'll be pretty, but I played that before.
I mean,
I love Westerns because they take place in cool cinematic Western environments.
They may cheat it. I mean,
they could cheat it.
The original Red Dead had basically a very condensed, weird version of the whole United States, right?
Including Nebraska or something.
Yeah. They had like New Orleans and then that city, what was it, Blackwater, whatever it's called. I mean, I haven't played that game in years, but they had like an East Coast actual city in it. And it was so crazy after spending, 40 hours or whatever in the desert to see like two or three story buildings and brick buildings.
Well, and then Mexico is totally different too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But they say in their marketing materials, this is like exploring the Great Plains of the United States, central United States.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't mean anything. You take a plane to another place in GTA. So like, I mean, who knows?
Probably not taking any airplanes in Red Dead 2.
There could be like a crazy inventor.
Yeah. Da Vinci. Leonardo da Vinci.
Did we pin down the era at all? I can't remember.
It's, well, it's before Red Dead. It's,
yeah.
And we also
only
like a decade or so.
It's probably like late 1800s.
I mean, Red Dead Redemption was so good. But the one thing it maybe didn't do so great just for the long-term health of the Red Dead games is they can't set any games after that.
Yeah.
Like, the whole premise of that game is that's the very end of like cowboys are dying.
Yeah. We were talking about that yesterday. It's like 1911 or something. So it's like if you set a game after that, it's not
the Roaring Twenties.
Yeah, exactly.
You already have to like suspend your belief a little bit for the game even to be set that late. So they had no choice but to kind of move a little earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We know that game is going to be just so fun to play.
Yeah.
So cool and stuff. It's just like I have like a lot of nostalgia for. Well, I mean, frankly, I'm from the Southwest. I'm from Arizona. Like when I played Red Dead and I lived here, like it meant a lot to me. Like it was really beautiful seeing the places that like I knew the most. And like seriously, that first town you go into that's supposed to be like Tombstone. I forget what it's called.
Yeah.
That's like with like saguaros around it and the desert and stuff. Like that's Arizona, and like it was super cool seeing that.
I want an HD remake of that game so bad.
Yeah,
I have like what? That seems like 2010, 2009, 2010.
And like 10.
It's so exciting just as a gamer. Like Rockstar San Diego has been working on Red Dead 2 for 7 years. Like that whole time, like
they didn't work on Max Payne 3.
I mean, the thing with Rockstar, they're so secretive that we don't know for sure. Like, yeah, let me walk that back. It's very likely that they all got pulled on to GTA to help wrap that up and, you know, pulled on to other projects. But generally speaking, like, they take their time to a degree that no one else can or is willing to. And then we get to reap the benefits of that, you know, a couple times a decade.
Like, well, and it's also, like, I don't think Take-Two's in any big rush because GTA is still in the top five in MPD every single month.
Game
So it's like they're still making money off of something they made a decade ago.
So there's no, like, EA and other companies are under a lot of shareholder pressure, just internal pressure to, like, you know, make money each year. But when GTA is still the number two selling game, take as long as you want.
Yeah.
And I don't want to count our chickens before they hatch. Like, you know, we're critics and we'll evaluate the game when it comes out. But I'm just excited as a gamer.
Yeah, sure. It is interesting that it's a prequel, even though it's called 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of like Red Dead something else.
A pretty solid point, actually.
Yeah. It's great that it's coming out really soon, too.
Well,
spring,
we'll see.
2018, if it doesn't get really delayed. Our own Marty Sliva expects it to get delayed.
I would be stunned if that game is actually coming out in Q1. I can't imagine.
One of those steak bets?
Well, it doesn't have to be Q1 to be spring.
True. But I don't know.
Fall 2018.
I agree. I think that's like late next year.
Talking about with the development of that game going back so far?
Well, just because Rockstar, they're perfectionists and no one is rushing them. So it's like, I think that like any other publisher in the world, it would be like...
Is that for investors?
Stuff? Probably for investors, because I think they have to at least pretend it could come out in this fiscal year.
We have a large influx of cash coming in spring 2018.
Well,
that's their message to their investors, right?
And you know they're thinking very, very deeply about like Red Dead Online, you know, GTA 5.
They registered Red Dead Online.
Such a crazy cash cow for them, but it's a little bit less appropriate in an Old West setting to like buy a premium horse. Like, I don't even know like what.
They'll be a general store.
They got to be thinking. I'm just saying
sundries.
Like,
the Rockstar general store.
With the livery truck.
There's, you know,
trucks
building a really, really elaborate.
The livery wagon.
Yeah. Can a horse be a truck?
You're asking the important question.
Do airports have horses?
Oh yeah.
I meant to bring that up at the top of the show. I owe everyone an apology.
Every airport has a horse department.
Yeah, has a horse truck.
You know, we are human beings on this show, and occasionally, true, you know, we say a game, oh, that came out on PlayStation when it didn't. We get some details wrong. It is rare to get someone as catastrophically wrong as I did on the show last week, and I am man enough to admit that, there is 100% dedicated airport firefighters and firefighting equipment. And please, no one tweet me any more pictures of airport firefighting equipment.
You can tweet them at me. I like airport firefighting equipment.
You should play the new game Airport Firefighter on PS4. Well, the fact that Red Dead Redemption 2 is a prequel got me thinking about what are the best video game prequels? There are quite a few, but I don't know how many of them are actually great.
I got one.
What?
Super Mario World 2.
Yoshi's
Island.
Island, yeah. Yoshi's Island is a prequel, right?
I guess that counts.
I was gonna bring that one
up. Unless Baby Mario is not actually Mario.
That's true. They do can appear next to each other. That's
cool. I don't know the canon of Yoshi's Island 2. Are those separate? Is there time travel involved? Or because they make it very clear that you're meeting Yoshi in Mario World.
Yeah, it's weird that he wouldn't like bring it up.
I have never given this 1 ounce of thought until this moment.
Yeah.
Like so Yoshi's running around taking care of baby Mario. Well, is that and the then same? 40 years later, Mario's running
is that
around.
The
just
same
to punch
Yoshi?
Him in the back of the head.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's called the Yoshi Punch.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was confirmed.
Yeah.
Sticking in the Nintendo camp, the Metroid Primes are prequels to Metroid 2.
Yeah. Can't get much better than those.
Yeah.
It's true.
Wow.
And
they don't set up a bunch of like lore. And
well, there
stuff,
just but, isn't a lot of lore,
except for Samus's origins, which they did set up, which is like she's raised by the Chozo and
it's Chozo stuff. Yeah,
I don't know if it counts, but because it's DLC, but Last of Us Left Behind, I think it's really really good.
Well, isn't every Castlevania prequel?
Castlevanias 2 and 3 and like Castlevania Adventure all take place before the first Castlevania.
Or Castlevania,
and there are even others. I think Castlevania Legacy is set before all those games. For the first one, basically.
Halo Reach.
Halo Reach. But that's not the only Halo prequel.
ODST?
Halo Wars.
Oh, sure.
It's also a prequel.
Star Wars Pod Racer.
Ooh, oh, yeah.
Boy.
Yeah, yeah. How about Metal Gear Solid V, The Phantom Pain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Several of the Metal Gears take place before Metal Gear.
Yeah, I've never...
As far as I understand it, 5 is the one that bumps up to Metal Gear.
Okay. Yeah, so like I've never finished a Metal Gear game, and I've never played most of them. And Max, like his eyes like glazed over one day, and he was talking to me about how if I play through them all, I should play them not in the order of release, but in their actual like chronological order.
I never agree with that. Anything that comes out, they're like, what order should I watch this or play it? So just play it in release order. That's what everybody else had to do.
What's fair? Well, I would say play the best one.
Well, start sure. The best one. I think it's funny that really long-running franchises, they eventually seem afraid to set something at the end of the timeline. I mean, Star Trek is doing it now. Like, they reach a point, they move forward, 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 and then they get stuck going back in time. I'm speaking more about, like, movies and television shows, but they get stuck going back in time, and they're scared to sort of do it. I mean, Metroid's been doing
it. I love one of my favorite devices that I wish, I kind of want Red Dead to do, honestly, is Mass what Better Call Saul does, which is that it's fully a prequel, but every season, just only one scene takes place
opening,
after Breaking Bad.
The cold open of open of the season takes place in present.
So there's like 5 to 10 minutes of just, we've only seen 3 scenes from it. It's the season 1 premiere, 2 premiere, 3 premiere, and it just takes place after.
The Hobbit.
Yeah, actually.
Actually, it just kind of took place. No, I guess it was, it took place in the middle of Fellowship. There's an intro scene, and then the rest of it's a prequel.
Mass Effect Andromeda obviously didn't work out. It's not one of the best video game prequels ever made.
Is it a prequel?
No, it's after.
It's not even set after.
Okay, but, I mean, they sort of had their cake and ate it, too, because what the ship that everyone's on takes place during the events of Mass Effect 2, and so none of them are aware of the... So technically, because they're in whatever their sci-fi version of, like, hypersleep is, like, on a calendar, it's later than Mass Effect 3, but there's no genophage, there's none of that stuff for Mass Effect.
Left. Oh, weird. Yeah. Interesting. I cannot believe it, because I love the first 3 games, and I played through them, like, I 100%ed the first 2. I didn't even touch Andromeda.
Yeah, the conceit of the game is that...
We'll talk about that.
That ship took off before the events of 3, and I think they did that just so they didn't have to deal with the multiple choice ending. Like,
That's
Star true. Wars is having an issue with this right now, because they made their finale in Star Wars, A New Hope, blowing up the Death Star, and it's super cool, and that saved the universe. And then they're like, what are we going to do? They did it a second time in Jedi. They just blew up the Death Star again.
Yeah.
Because they're like, this will just
and
make
then
it.
Basically again in we'll Force Awakens.
And then they did it again.
Yeah.
I know.
Do you know what, have
I
you know. Ever seen, I know you have. Have you two ever seen the Death Star from A New Hope and a Death Star from Return of a Jedi, like side by side in an infographic?
Isn't it like 100 times bigger?
It's so unclear to people. The movies never communicate this. The second it's Death bigger? Star is way, way,
but,
like, but you're
then,
right. It's like 100 times
bigger.
But then
who is dictating that?
I mean, I think it's like I don't
Pablo Hidalgo and his infographic factory.
I mean, is it because there's a Star Destroyer near it? That you
exactly. Like, I don't know canonically, like, it is a source of record that confirms it, but I don't know what it is.
It's probably, I mean, they show Death Star plans for both of them, I'm sure, if you look with the fine-tooth comb.
I mean, they fly around inside the second Death Star.
Yeah.
Totally. But at least Star Wars is now saying, we're going to tell a bigger story, and they're going to have to come up with different types
but
of
now
finale.
They have almost the opposite problem, though. Like, their prequel stories, like, I don't know, at least personally, I don't want a Han Solo prequel movie. I don't want an Obi-Wan prequel movie.
I thought,
like,
you were going to say, like, personally, like, I don't really like the prequel movies.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I might be the only
really?
One.
Explain.
No, but I mean, like, these new Star Wars stories, like, Rogue One, yeah. I think is very good. Yeah. Like, I like it. I didn't need it. Like, I don't really feel like they needed to do that.
I needed that Darth Vader scene.
They did the best job they could with that one.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't trust them to do the same with Han Solo.
I
so
totally
prove
agree.
Me wrong.
Sure, I mean, there's so many, like, I was talking to Max and Brian about this. There are so many bad things they can do in a Han Solo. Like, there's so many, like, Lando, pay attention. Your head's always in the clouds. Like, there's so many, like, awful lines they can do that are just, like, stop
I've
it.
I've got a bad feeling about this, said by Han Solo's dad, like, before.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like,
the whole time he's carrying around young Chewie.
let's get back on track with video game prequels. A lot of people don't realize this. Both
I know Chewie's old.
Both Deus Ex, Human Revolution, and Mankind Divided are prequels to the first Deus Ex.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah, that's another franchise
that is that because, without spoiling it, there is some big finale that they can't get past in one of
them? I don't know the reasoning.
I think
why.
It's because there's a less liked sequel. There's Invisible War. Yeah. That it's actually not a bad game, but it's not, like, beloved in the same way. And so then that, like, mucks up the timeline, right? And they just don't want to play around in that space.
There's Batman Arkham Origins.
Yeah.
Which I feel like people have kind of come around on.
I think the first two were so loved, and then that one came, and so people didn't like it.
Some
and you
people
go back
slept on it because it wasn't Rocksteady.
Yeah.
But people don't really love Arkham Knight today. Yeah. I think so. I think they feel more favorably about Arkham Origins than they do Arkham Knight. Right?
Because it's like an Arkham City expansion. Basically. Yeah. I mean, you go to the same bridge like 150 times.
How about these? Assassin's Creed 4. And Assassin's Creed Rogue are both prequels to Assassin's Creed 3.
Well,
I'm
No,
that's right. That's because it's the Connor Kenway, what's his name? Kenway,
like,
family.
The ancestor, yeah. Family, yeah.
Yeah, but they're all, I mean, all of them are interconnected. And they just take place.
I guess I just understood. I thought that one's a little bit more connected than some of these.
Because there's an Ezio trilogy or whatever, and this definitely focuses, or at least they were starting to and then
that's
abandoned
true.
It.
That bloodline. Yeah. Okay, fair point. Mm-hmm.
There's also Gears of War Judgment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Prequel to the whole
Forgot
Gears
about
War
that.
Series.
Mm. Mega Man 1's a prequel to Mega Man 2.
God of War Ascension?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was
the PSP
that was a
ones. The Wait. PSP ones, I believe, are prequels to
No, something
God of War
that came
1.
Out at the same time as God of War, Gears of War Judgment. There were two games that did game title colon something else that same year.
The one that came to PlayStation 3 after God of War that's 3 Ascension. Was God of War Ascension.
Yeah.
And that's a prequel? I don't know.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that is because I think his family's in it. That's the only God of War game I haven't played, but I think you're right. Sorry if this is a fire truck airport thing all over again. Also, I guess technically, I mean, not really, but Bioshock Infinite takes place like 40 years before Bioshock 1, and, and those have threads
cool.
later.
Yeah, that's true. Last week, the SNES Classic was released. Nintendo promised they had more supply to deliver this year. Anecdotally, it doesn't seem like they did to me.
Thanks for nothing.
I had no problems. I pre-ordered it.
No.
Came
That's
on release day.
I disagree with that. I think the people in our office that wanted to get one were totally screwed on pre-orders again.
Yeah.
That didn't work out at all. Mm. Those are awful. But the people that went to Target on Friday morning, I know you got one, were able to go and get them. And they all got them. Everybody that went to a retail store on Friday morning got one.
I still don't have one.
I went to a.
I'm deeply disappointed.
Well, I think Amazon specifically really.
Amazon hosed their customers.
I went to.
Well, what about?
I've had a lot of issues with Amazon and Nintendo products specifically.
Yep.
That's an interesting.
Listen, I'm at the point. I'm ready to say, I will not pre-order any Nintendo thing from Amazon.
Same. The only thing
that
has ever
too.
Come on time are Amiibo.
They
but
seem
like
to,
the rest of it never works.
I mean, Amazon is a company, you know, it's incredible. You know, it's a fabric of like American Amazon. Life at this point, but they are not reliable when it comes to video game deliveries anymore. They just aren't.
For me, it's only Nintendo. Like I've been an Amazon Prime member for forever since it started. And I, at this point, I've had problems with maybe 6 orders ever, and every single one of them was a Nintendo product.
So the thing about the SNES Classic is I'm sensitive to just the logistical nightmare of delivering who knows how many tens of thousands of things on the same day where you don't know how many you're going to get in the idea. Like, I understand all that. But they were selling them on treasure trucks. Like, yeah, there are tens of thousands of people that still don't have their SNES Classic that they pre-ordered from Amazon. Their pre-order hasn't been canceled. It's just sitting there hanging while Amazon has stock that they're selling in treasure trucks.
Yeah, that's
like,
really bad.
That is a crappy, move.
I hadn't heard of it until this.
Treasure truck is the most confusing thing ever because you see them. They're parked in major cities, and they say Amazon all over them. You can't walk up to them and buy anything. You have to. It's like in-store pickup. So you have to order it via the website, and then you pick it up at a treasure truck location.
Not in San Francisco.
They haven't been in San Francisco at all?
I mean,
I think they were.
It's not one of the, they have a list of like 15 cities or whatever that they're in. SF isn't one of them, but it's a truck. And so I think that they've had some presence in the city, but it's not one of the like official pilot cities.
Right.
So yeah, I think they were better at getting them in stock on that one day, but then two things didn't happen. There's been nothing about regular orders on Amazon, Best Buy, Walmart, any of those.
Are more coming?
They say they are. They never just put them for sale. They had pre-orders and then nothing.
Yeah.
So that's weird. And then also, retail hasn't like restocked daily.
Yeah.
So it's like, what will they come in this Friday? Is there any? And like GameStop's like, we'll tell everybody when they come in again.
I will say,
like, now we're back in the same situation where they're sold out and they're like, what, twice as much on eBay?
Well, that's what I was just going to get into is what they're $80 MSRP, $70?
Yeah, $80.
Yeah. $80. And it's selling on Craigslist and eBay for about $140.
It's definitely lower.
Just supply and demand economics. That's a little bit better than the NES Classic was.
It is a little bit better.
Like, that was selling for more than 2x its cost, seems to indicate.
But it also means those people got them somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is like,
yeah.
A lot of stores
didn't have limits, so there's all those pictures.
I don't understand.
Like,
why don't retail stores just limit it to one? One per customer.
Because
they don't care. They just want to sell their 50 consoles.
I think the weird thing is, like, SNES Classic, still majorly mainstream, obviously. I think it's maybe like that 10% lower than the NES. Like, my dad wanted an NES Classic because he's a super lapsed gamer from the 80s, but like, he doesn't care about Super Nintendo.
I kept saying that, and everybody in the office was like, no, Super Nintendo Classic will be much more popular.
I disagree.
Like, my parents have never even heard of a Super Nintendo.
It's $20 higher than the impulse purchase range. So it's $80 instead of $60.
Yep, that's a big difference.
Yeah.
$80 versus $60 takes it out of impulse range for a lot of people. And I completely agree 1,000% that the SNES Classic, you know, the greatest collection of games ever made, I think it has less broad appeal to like moms than the NES Classic did.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the whole reason I bring this up is because on the day the SNES Classic was released, a new mini console was announced. And that is the Commodore 64 Mini.
Oh, boy.
They announced this last
Finally.
Week. I think this is really cool.
You have like 5-minute
Commodore
load times.
Commodore 64 has really good games and good versions of a lot of games you guys already like.
They announced the Commodore 64 Mini last week to come early 2018 for $70 and includes 64 games. And
of course it does.
A lot of people don't have experience with the Commodore 64. They called it like the most successful personal computer of all time, the highest selling personal computer of all time. But it was very popular in the 80s. I didn't own one myself, but like kids in my neighborhood had one, and then my cousins had one. So I played lots of C64 games at other people's houses.
Yeah, I learned BASIC through it. I programmed.
They're really cool.
I did all kinds
and they were like, the games were, some of the games were a little bit more involved than like NES, you know, action arcade games. Like they were like adventure games, Maniac Mansion, Zack McCracken and the Alien Mindbenders. I played Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Hitchhiker's was great. That was Infocom also, just like Zork.
And died by getting hit in the head with a brick over and over again because we couldn't figure out how to escape our house being bulldozed.
There's a Aztec Challenge is a really cool game on Commodore 64. The Jumpman Junior series is really cool. Good music. The Commodore 64 has really good music.
So this thing looks really cool. Good. It's a 50% scale replica of the original console with a keyboard, although the keyboard is non-functional. It's HDMI output, so it should just be plug and play with your TV. And it includes a classic joystick, which is like a big joystick with two buttons on it. 64 built-in
two
games.
Buttons?
Yeah, there's two buttons.
I never had two
on it.
Buttons.
Button 1 and 2. Huh. 64 games. There aren't.
See the games?
Yeah, there's, the list of games is public. And so, like, highlights are Impossible Mission 1 and 2.
Yeah, those
both
are
in
huge.
There. Paradroid and California Games.
California Games is really good. At
California Games.
Or it was when I was 4.
Chips Challenge is also really good.
Chips is amazing.
But there are a lot of notable games that are missing. Like, my favorite game that I played on C64 as a kid was Bruce Lee, which is awesome.
Never heard
that. That one's not on there. It's like a series of single screen mazes where you're a tiny little Bruce Lee running around and you have to avoid a big fat green sumo wrestler and a ninja
that
chase you around. And you have to collect the lanterns on each stage. When you've collected all the lanterns, you get to go to the next stage.
Mm-hmm. How do you know you're Bruce Lee?
The game is called Bruce Lee.
Okay, you're just assuming.
It breaks the fourth wall a lot. Hey guys, just to remind you playing at home.
Hey,
I'm
Bruce Lee here.
It's me, Bruce Lee.
The game is called Bruce Lee.
The thing, if your friends had a Commodore 64, then the coolest thing was that they would have, or I played this on a 128 a lot, but they'd have a stack of discs that were just copied from somebody else, because there's like no copyright protection whatsoever. And they just had all the arcade games on them. And they're like Atari-ish versions.
You know what's also supposed to be
good?
You just
play like Donkey Kong and Pac-Man, Pole Position, all that stuff. Just like stacks and stacks of those.
The Commodore version of Bubble Bobble is supposed to be really good.
But that's not on. I actually own that in the packaging and everything, but I've never tried it. I've always wanted to.
Are they, I mean, like, so one of the things that's cool about SNES Classic is like, if you want Earthbound, like if you wanted it until this came out, you would just spend like $250 on a cartridge, whereas this is something, ignoring the stock issues, that you can theoretically walk into Walmart and buy and then have it. So, like, are Commodore 64 games, like, how collectible are they? How expensive are
they? Well, it's just a matter of, you know, running a Commodore on a monitor,
like,
there's
no,
or a CRT television. It'd
be very difficult to do.
Keyboard set. I mean, just, so having just HDMI out, accessible at all.
Yeah, pretty cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
It's interesting. Cool. Just from, we've talked about this on GameScoop before about like just game preservation, and you mentioned Bubble Bobble. Like when everyone thinks about Bubble Bobble, maybe not everyone, most people, I think about the NES version of that game.
Yeah.
But there's other versions, sometimes better and sometimes worse, of games that hit, you know, all kinds of other PCs and, you know, the Commodore and other platforms of the era. And, you know, like there's a notoriously bad Pac-Man on Atari, you know, that had little rectangular pellets that you had to eat. And that's really fascinating and interesting to me, just as a piece of history, like all the different versions of something that came out, especially if like some lesser known version can be considered like the comprehensive or, you know, canonical version.
Yeah.
So what consoles don't have minis at this point? Because there's a Genesis Flashback. There's.
Yeah, but there's, so there's no TurboGrafx-16.
Mm. Sega CD.
Yeah. There isn't.
TurboGrafx would be such a good one.
That crappy Genesis Flashback contains some Sega Master System games, but I don't think there's been a dedicated Sega Master System mini.
Yeah. Neo Geo would be really good. Get all those arcade games.
Yeah.
Who owned? Could TurboGrafx happen theoretically? Like, who even has?
So I was trying to think
about
this.
Konami owns Hudson, right?
And Konami doesn't seem very interested in publishing games anymore.
Yeah. Well, but there may be a big rights issue there with one company owning the software and another owning the rights to the hardware.
It'd be a total mess, but it'd be super fun.
Yeah, that's cool. I would love a TurboGrafx mini. Anyway, I think the C64 mini is cool. It's early 2018 for $70. It is October, ladies and gentlemen, which means it's time to check in with our retro magazine library. Ooh. And this episode,
Halloween issue,
I've selected the October 1992 issue of Electronic Gaming Monthly.
25 years.
Turtles on the Genesis special picture preview.
Was it like text preview only normally? Like, what does that mean?
Also, new Sega CDs, previews of Dragon Warrior 4, Art of Fighting, Predator 2, Mega Man 5, Air Zonk, Sonic 2, they got Alien 3,
Did you say Sega CDs?
That's what it says. New Sega CDs.
All right.
Yep.
Let's dig in.
Let's dig in. There's lots of, you guys are in for a treat this time.
So the ad.
Was that an Aerosmith Gen X?
Probably. We're going to jump to page 14 to the letters section here.
Mm-hmm. Revolution X, sorry.
And we've got a letter from, let's see, this is from Rex Shaw in Orange, California. He just says, okay, dudes, enough is enough. You've done everything possible in Street Fighter 2. It's time to move on. This is, October 1992. The SNES version of Street Fighter 2, it came out in 91?
And
I know every issue just like has tons of stuff on Street Fighter 2.
Do you think this guy was like seething when the Switch port got announced years later?
He probably was. The editor's right back. Bet you wouldn't be saying that if Ryu were standing behind you. What do you think, folks?
That is a good comeback.
Had enough of the World Warriors for one lifetime?
We get similar feedback on IGN. Please stop covering this.
Whatever.
And the reason we're covering it is because a lot of people want to read about it.
You know, stop writing stories about Destiny.
Another thing as long as I've followed video games, people have always complained about how many sequels there are. Everything's a sequel. There's no original games, no new ideas. Brian writes in saying, yikes, Your last issue really made a statement. Super Mario Land 2, Strider 2, Phantasy Star 4, Afterburner 3, Thunder Force 4, and RBI 4 are all sequels. Don't manufacturers have any original ideas anymore? It seems that we are being suffocated by sequels. Just because a game has more memory or better graphics than its original doesn't always make it better. Buying them is tempting, but I, for one, feel cheapened when purchasing a cart that relies on its predecessor's popularity. We have already endured 5 Mario adventures, 3 Shinobis, 3 Ghouls and Ghosts, 5 Turtles games, and 7 Batman games.
Oh boy.
Before the turn of the century, we might dwell in a world of all sequels. I think it's time that game developers start coming up with better ideas.
What's his name?
Wow.
Brian.
It's been a tough quarter of a century. Yeah,
out of every franchise he listed, which Batman isn't a franchise, but you know what I mean. Like, Mario is the only one still publishing contemporary games.
What are the others?
Shinobi, Ghouls and Ghosts, Turtles. Yeah. Batman.
Yeah, like the Turtles games, there have been a couple bad Turtles games.
You know what I mean? Like, it's just funny. Like, that's the one that survived.
Yeah.
The editor's right back. You forgot Mega Man 5 and Adventure Island 3. You can put away your Orwellian thoughts, however, because a quick glance around and you'd see some kicking original stuff like Out of This World and Mario Paint and a whole new batch of CD games, some with real motion video.
Ooh. I really like these.
Is it Orwellian because they're dystopic?
I was going to say, I don't quite.
It's looking at like a dark future,
I guess.
Orwellian to me would mean like doublespeak.
Yeah.
Derek from New Jersey.
State. Yeah, or surveillance state. Yeah.
Derek from New Jersey writing to say, I've been following your coverage of Street Fighter II since it was first mentioned in Gaming Gossip. I now have the cartridge and I have a few questions about this 16 meg wonder. In one issue, you had a picture of the game's circuit board showing 4 meg chips. When I got the game, I was surprised to see how small the cartridge actually was. I tried to take it apart and couldn't because it requires a special screwdriver.
I've picked up those cartridges before. They're like cracked.
After breaking the shell,
it's like grease all over it.
No, listen, after breaking the shell, I found out why they didn't want anybody to look inside. There were only 2 main memory chips on a tiny board.
Dun, 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 dun.
What happened? Did Capcom find a way to compress the data, or did I get scammed by a false copy? Is it still 16 meg? I thought there was supposed to be a special music chip built in.
Wow.
Man.
He's hardcore.
Yeah.
He cracked it open.
EGM says, no deception here, Derek. The photo we ran was of the working prototype. Once the program is finished, this info is packed into 8 meg chips like the ones in your circuit board. There is no special music chip.
I just want to point out
8 meg chips, of course.
I want to point out the lost art of envelope art.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So much.
Yeah. I miss it. I wish there was some way we could get envelope art. If you guys would, you guys mail us a letter to GameScoop.
Envelope art. Yeah.
And with envelope art, we'll totally share it here on the show.
Yes. Please do.
Our address is 625 2nd Street, 4th floor, San Francisco, California, 94107. Make it attention, GameScoop, Damon Hatfield. We'll totally share your envelope art here on the show.
And it has to have Sonic.
Doesn't Sonic only.
Preferably no Sonic. We're going to jump to page 24. The big review this issue was Mario Paint. It got a 9 3/8.
Ooh.
That was the big Scoop. Review? I mean, I like Mario Paint too, but goodness gracious.
Look at that Star Wars for Game Boy.
Yeah. May the Force go with you.
Oh. That made George Lucas so mad.
They didn't even need to change it. They could have just said May the Force go with you.
A quick scan of the reviews this issue. Super Nintendo had Humongous, Super Buster Brothers, Test Drive 2, Super Batter Up.
Ooh.
A couple NES games, Gargoyle's Quest 2, Power Blade 2. Mm-hmm. On Genesis, it was Green Dog.
Those are very late games.
RBI Baseball 4. TurboGrafx 16, Cosmic Fantasy 2, and Soldier Blade. On the Game Gear, there was Chuck Rock.
Chuck Rock.
On Game Boy, it was Star Wars.
My man.
And Night Quest. I don't even know Night
I've
Quest.
I've never heard of
Night Quest. K-N-I-G-H-T.
You sure didn't mean Night Court?
On the Lynx, yeah, Night Court, but K-N-I-G-H-T. Yeah, yeah. Why is it someone made that game?
That's
Night
game.
Court!
But K and I...
Your Honor, my liege. 2 Lynx games, Pinball Jam and Shadow of the Beast. Let's jump to page 44.
Playing some magistrate in like a fantasy land courtroom is actually a really good
Babbages.
And I don't understand this. This spray is EGM's top 10s, and it's sponsored by Babbages. And
So it's their sales.
Well, it says the information below is provided by Babbages and is current as of August 14th, 1992. And they have
we
a top 10. They have a top 10 for Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Genesis, Game Boy, and Lynx. But then there's just editors. Is that just the editor's personal
game they bought?
Personal top 10? Like that's, so everything else, are we going to assume everything else is based on sales, and then this is just the editor's top 10?
Whatever you want. Just put whatever you want in there. It doesn't matter.
Number one on the Nintendo list was Yoshi.
Yeah.
The game Yoshi.
The game Yoshi. Not to be confused with Yoshi's Cookie.
Yep.
Number one, Super Nintendo was Street Fighter II. Genesis was Evander Holyfield Boxing. Game Boy was Super Mario Land, which was 3 years old at that point.
Yeah, yeah. Wow.
Lynx was Batman Returns, and the editors was Street Fighter II. They really were talking a lot about Street Fighter II back in the days. On page 48 here, we go to Gaming Gossip.
Here we go.
I'm really excited.
Get laid on us, Quarterman. Quarterman.
He says, yeah, he says Quarterman. It's Quarterman. He says, after months of insidious disinformation and bags full of stories to the contrary, the Cuminator has discovered that the Electronic Arts Matsushita Warner Pool Project, named after the company developing it, the SMSG for San Mateo Software Group, is a 32-bit machine with some incredible graphic and animation features, but is now rumored to not be a CD-ROM-based system. So before we go any further here, they're talking about a system that would never come to light.
Yeah.
However,
EA was rumored to make a console.
Yeah.
In San Mateo.
Yeah. The master plan. Oh, sorry. In fact, the Q-Man has learned through well-informed sources that the unit isn't a cartridge console either.
Oh,
the master plan of the Trip Brigade, Trip Hawkins.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Is to put the SMSG machine into the hands of every American who subscribes to cable television services. Here's the plan. When you get your cable service, the local carrier will deliver, for a small fee of $5 to $10, the SMSG 32-bit system, which you'll rent each month, like a cable box. Then, through a pseudo-pay-per-view service, anxious gamers will have the opportunity to access a library of titles to download for around $5. You'll then be able to play to your heart's content until you decide to turn off the system. So that they disappear from your system's memory after you turn it off?
You play until you turn it off? Just like every video game?
While the majority of the initial releases are rumored to be current EA hits, the potential for software sales, I mean rentals, is staggering. If the plan works, as the rumor mill says, the SMSG could become the dominant force in gaming, with upwards of 30 million units in homes by the end of next year. Quarterman, of course, will keep his followers well-fed with any new SMSG tidbits that happen my way.
It's pretty futuristic.
What the hell is Spanx Quest?
Yeah, well, again, you're jumping ahead, Sam. We haven't gotten there
just
yet.
I can't.
I would love to see a report card of the stuff that Quarterman got right versus wrong.
I would love to see that, too. Of course, this console would not ever see the light of day, but Trip Hawkins would develop the 3DO.
Mm-hmm.
That would be...
Well, that is that.
Well, it's so funny.
But that was a CD-based system.
I mean, when you're a child reading this magazine and you're just like, oh, rumors, you know. But now as an adult, it's so obviously clear that like they had real, like real intel on something like this. And like we're also hearing rumors that there may be a Super Mario World 2. And it's like just the mix of like what's clearly like an actual lead and clearly just made up is so clear.
Here's the next bit of gaming gossip. Look who's made the big time. Sonic the Hedgehog, the mammoth of mirth, has penned a deal with the white shirts of ABC to star in his own television show this fall. While the Q-Man has dug deep, things remain sketchy. What we do know is that the show will be animated, and current plans have the blurred blue one beaming into the airwaves for a one-shot primetime slot.
Wow.
Sources hinted that this could lead to a regular engagement in the same time period or possibly a move to the conventional Saturday morning hours for a one-on-one with the Big N's own mascot, Mario. Don't look to the Q-Meister to visualize this one, quarter freaks. I'll admit it's a nice idea, but I just don't see it.
I'm Sonic Show.
Don't be surprised if you see Truxton 2 hitting game systems soon. Does anybody have
Truxton?
Does anybody know what Truxton is?
The game is
eating up the Japanese arcade charts and is reportedly so good it could actually dethrone Street Fighter 2.
Oh my god, they love Street Fighter 2.
I told you. More news from Teriyaki in Japan. Super Mario 2, America's revamped version of the Famicom classic Arabian Legend disc, is now set to make a second appearance in the Land of the Rising Sun as Super Mario USA. Give me a break.
Oh my god.
Who's Teriyaki?
It's their Japanese reporter.
Oh boy.
AGM had a Japanese reporter called Teriyaki.
Oh.
It's not our fault.
Nope. They're talking about how Super Mario Brothers 2 was originally a conversion of a Japanese game.
He says that it's going to come out here as Super Mario USA?
No, they're going to bring out Super Mario 2 in Japan as Super Mario America.
Weird.
They did do that.
They did do that, yeah.
I didn't think it was in 1992.
I'm not sure exactly
when. Well, Quarterman got scoops years ahead.
All right, one more. The long-awaited and much-talked-about Super Mario movie is finally becoming a reality. Mm-hmm. The Q-Man's Hollywood sources have discovered that Bob Hoskins, of Who Framed Roger Rabbit fame, has been marked to man Mario for the big screen. Another big-name star set to play in the video game come to life is Dennis Hopper. Quarterman doesn't know his role yet, but he'd fit for the psycho Luigi part. Universal
it was Bowser.
Universal Soldier, give me a break. The video game version of this sorry summer turkey is really Turrican 2 in disguise.
That's like a pretty generally big scoop. Like that's a surprising thing to have been accurate about.
The casting had probably already been announced.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and like Sam pointed out, there's a full page ad for this game called Spanky's Quest.
Yeah. Can I see Spanky's Quest
on Super Nintendo and Game Boy? And I'm not familiar with this game.
I'm glad I saw this before you asked about it on 20 Questions. Yeah. Really. It's recommended by Archie.
That's what I want to say. Yeah. There's a logo on there that says it says this game is recommended by Archie
also,
from Archie
there's
Comics.
There's a sexy apple in it.
How is that a thing? It's got the Archie, the Archie seal of approval.
I really
Archie is a fictional character.
I hope Riverdale season 2 brings in Spanky.
Like the cover promised, there's a lineup of new Sega CD games coming. One of them is Dolphin, and they say Dolphin will be a quest game that involves new types of gameplay.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's Echo.
Echo the Dolphin. Yeah, that's what it is. Why did they just call it Dolphin?
Prototype.
Yeah, that's
Dolphin.
Weird.
That's
but does that predate Echo the Dolphin?
No, if not for Sega CD, there'd been like two of them for Genesis.
Oh,
I don't know if they'd already come out.
Maybe Sega CD and Echo the Dolphin came out at the same time or really near Echo the Dolphin.
Yeah,
it is strange. And then several of these games listed never came out for Sega CD.
That Sonic screenshot looks fake as hell, by the way.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Ultima Underworld never came out for Sega CD.
Oh, not for Sega CD. Yeah.
Cool World, based on the movie, never came to
Sega. That came to NES.
Sega CD, yeah. Let's see. We're going to jump to page 62 here because their Leading Edge section has the first preview and review of Mortal Kombat in the arcades.
Oh, yeah.
Time to stop talking about Street Fighter 2.
Yeah, seriously.
But like they didn't know. Like that's what's so crazy about this era is Mortal Kombat wasn't Mortal Kombat yet. It was just a new weird fighting game.
That's a preview or a review?
Preview and review.
Oh, and did they like it?
And there's a photo here of Ed Boon, the minds behind the magic.
That's
very young-looking Ed Boon. And it says, hot on the heels of recent hits like Total Carnage, and the boys of Bally Midway have created a new smart bomb with the potential to lay other fighting games, even Street Fighter II, to rest. Like, how many times? We're, like, skimming through the issue, and how many times have they mentioned Street Fighter II? Mortal Kombat makes a radical departure from normal fare by using live actors to play the parts of the combatants. This wonder of modern video gaming technology promises to take games to new levels of realism and playability. But what about the scenes of graphic violence in Mortal Kombat? And then they have a rating. They give it a 9 overall. How it rates, while Mortal Kombat will surely draw comparisons with the other fighting games now in the arcades, it does represent an extension and not a duplication of the theme. Mortal Kombat delivers all the way. The graphics are absolutely killer, with the blood and guts screen candy merely bolstering what is impressive play technique already built in. The action is consistent but never repetitive. As either a single or two-player awesome contest, Mortal Kombat scores a knockout and leaves the competition on the canvas. I think that's a typo.
There's an ad for Prince of Persia NES.
Yeah, I know, right?
It's a late game.
I know. Yeah.
What are they doing? They're just reviewing games in random pages of the magazine.
Like Mortal Kombat was like a cultural event, and in, like I remember when I first played it in the arcade, it was like a much bigger deal than they're even making of it. Like the spike pit and the fatalities, like they didn't even mention any of that stuff.
I just think
it was a big deal.
Yeah. I think if we were to look at the two more issues, Mortal Kombat would be all over it. But this was just so early. Like
I'm just surprised they weren't like more blown away in that review. Mm.
We go to the Game Doctor. This is where people wrote in like technical questions about their games and hardware. And Brian from New York wrote in asking, said, "I've been a loyal reader of yours for some years now, and I finally found a reason to write you. With all these drastic changes in the video game market occurring right and left, what do you predict will come about in the future? How will these system wars pan out? Reading the August EGM really shocked me regarding price cuts, cheaper technology, more advanced hardware, and surges in the number of sequels, as well as new and improved games that are to be released within the next year. What is your personal outlook? Will 8-bit survive? Will CD games prevail? What is to become of the current systems?"
Those CD games are just a fad.
The Game Doctor says, "I think 8-bit is already over, for all intents and purposes. Sega was a clear leader in the 16-bit wars as of last Christmas, but Sega has had an awful year.
Oh,
it
nice.
Failed to follow up its biggest hits. Sonic 2 is only now being ready for release. Then after delighting gamers with Castle of Illusion, Sega followed it up with the difficult-to-play Fantasia. Worse still, the CD-ROM drive was released in Japan and died, mostly due to the lack of quality entertainment software support. If manufacturers want video game consumers to purchase CD drives for the systems, they should give them a legitimate reason. That the 16-bit systems themselves will survive seems a surer thing. The prices on the existing units have fallen low enough that even given the existing libraries, they are a pretty good deal. But ROM is an expensive memory storage medium, so either CD has to make it or prices on the software will probably remain unrealistically high.
It's fascinating that, I mean, by 93 or 4, Sega was kind of already a little bit of a joke. I mean, the Sega CD had flopped and the 32X had flopped. But, like, there was a brief little window, like, 89, 90, 91, and, like, we're at the turning point, like, now, where, like, Sega absolutely dominated everything.
There's a preview of Final Fantasy V. It says, this will likely be renamed Final Fantasy III in the States.
Isn't
that great?
Final Fantasy VI was 3.
Yeah, they were close. 5 didn't come out.
Does it have a preview of it?
Just the short little preview of Final Fantasy V.
It has pictures of it.
Look at Bart's there.
I mean, Bart's.
Isn't that him?
What, is that the name of your guy in Final Fantasy V?
I think so.
I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah, I mean, that's really unusual to see, you know, the Super Famicom Final Fantasy V previewed in a U.S. magazine. That's really cool that it's in there.
Well, it's funny that it's in there, and then if you were playing games at the time, you wouldn't play that game for, I don't know, many, many years. I don't know when Final Fantasy V was.
So there was the PlayStation 1 collection.
Maybe PS1.
It's
not that many
years later. And when did 3 come out on Super Nintendo?
3 was 6, so it was long after that.
That's what I'm saying. This is 92.
Yeah. 94, so, maybe?
94, yeah. Crazy.
The subscription page, I love this. If you subscribe to EGM, you got a t-shirt with your subscription. It says, with your paid subscription, you'll receive this special collector's t-shirt emblazoned with the EGM attitude that will turn heads and make you feel like a pro no matter where you play. And it's a t-shirt that just says, in your face.
EGM.
A t-shirt that just says in your face is the EGM attitude.
I want
the same attitude as Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, I would wear the shit out of their shirt if I had a copy of this.
It just says in your face.
Yeah. EGM.
We can make
it's
those
so
shirts.
Good.
Maybe we should bootleg those.
All right, we jump to page 136. And it's a preview of Final Fantasy Mystic Quest, you know, which was, it says right here, many gamers complain that either their children are not mature enough to understand RPGs or that some people just don't want to think through a game. Well, the minds of Square have just come up with a game that will satisfy everyone.
Baby Final Fantasy.
And I was saying, sections of this magazine feel like they're written in a totally different voice and are filled with, like, broken English and typos. And this is one of those sections. For instance, one of these images has a caption, your characters will do funny things. For example, if something weird happens, you will shrug in stupidity.
In stupidity.
Mm-hmm. What a nice little excerpt there.
Let's jump to page 146. This is the Mega Man 5 preview.
Okay.
And I just pointed out that, this is 1992, and they're previewing Mega Man 5 for the NES.
Yeah.
They also made Mega Man 6.
There's still one more to come after that.
It's crazy. Let's jump to page 174 here.
This has been my favorite one of these we've
I told you, this is so good. Two-page preview of Air Zonk.
Air Zonk, that's what it needs, a two-page spread.
So this is a shooter?
Yes. But the interesting thing here, not one of these words mentions Bonk or Bonk's Adventure. Or the fact that this is a spin-off from Bonk's Adventure.
So maybe it isn't a spin-off.
It is. It absolutely is.
Look at him. Look at him. It's Bonk in space.
None of this even mentions that this is a spin-off of Bonk's Adventure. And that was like the big TurboGrafx game. You'd think they would want to mention that.
Yeah, it seems like they're winding down TurboGrafx coverage. Ooh, they haven't
It also feels like they're winding down their magazine. They're like, look, we're at the end of the magazine. just wrap it up.
And this one's for you, Sam. It's a preview of Joe and Mac for Game Boy.
For Game
Boy. But check this out. It's just Joe. Mac's not in the game.
Yeah.
It's Joe and Mac with just Joe.
Is it called Joe and Mac?
Yeah, it's just called Joe and Mac.
Is it called Joe and Mac?
Andrew,
Man Ninja?
It's Joe and Mac, a preview of Joe and Mac for the Game Boy, but only Joe's in the game.
What?
Because it says Mac is away on a trip to hunt dinosaurs.
That's an excuse.
When suddenly those Neanderthal nerds have come and stolen all the cave women.
Why are they nerds?
Your mission.
They just make them steal Mac.
Your mission, Justin, is save the cave babes from the Neanderthal nerds.
Dude, I really love. Can you show? I loved how they used to stitch together screenshots to get like a whole long level layout.
Yeah, but so this is a preview. It says the game is 70% complete.
Yeah,
they have a whole level laid out that says last level.
That's just here. They just show you the entire last level of the game.
There definitely weren't anything like spoilers back then.
And that, seriously, ladies and gentlemen, is a look through the October 1992 issue of EGM. Whoa, what are you doing?
I wonder what it'll be like looking back in our coverage in like 20 years.
Oh, man. You don't even need to go back that far. 210 pages.
I know. It's crazy. It's insane.
Yeah, that thing is heavy.
You can look back at our coverage 20 years now.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Real quick, 10 years ago this month, in October 2007, some notable things happened. Bungie left Microsoft.
Wow.
Right after the release of Halo 3. Remember that? Yep. Bungie went independent.
But then they still made ODST.
Yeah, yeah. They still worked with Microsoft, but they're an independent studio. That month, EA bought BioWare Pandemic. Remember, they came as a package deal.
Yeah, that's right.
$860 million. Oof. Crazy thing is that the original Mass Effect was not out yet. It was released in November and published by Microsoft.
Wow, that's right. So it was 360 exclusive when it came out. That's right.
Obviously, BioWare paid off for EA. Pandemic, not so much. But the irony is that today, Mass Effect has been shelved, and Battlefront is still a big thing. And Battlefront was a Pandemic game.
Wow. That's so crazy. BioWare right now, I mean, I guess we'll see how Dragon Age is, but like, man, what a weird spot.
That, ladies and gentlemen, brings us to Video Game 20 Questions. And our suggestion this week comes from Gerald in Seattle. He says, I've been listening to GameScoop starting this past summer. It is one of the podcasts I always look forward to every week. I want to suggest an awesome game. So there you go. That's your first hint.
It's an awesome game.
It's a game that Gerald in Seattle thinks is awesome. Let the questioning
sounds like bad dudes
blink. Again.
Is it plausible that this game could have been mentioned in the pages of the October 1992 EGM?
I would say it's unlikely.
Old game.
Oop. Sounds like bad dudes. Maybe it's Spanky's. No, he said it's unlikely. It's Spanky's.
So that means it's probably mentioned. What, like a mid-90s game?
No, that would be impossible.
No, I mean, Quarterman was mentioning games. He could be talking about, like, that might mean it was really early in development.
I assumed it was a really old game, so it would be unlikely to have still been mentioned in these pages. I asked a bad first question. Yeah.
Did this game come out before 1990?
Did this game come out before
1990?
January 1st, 1990?
Yes.
No.
Oh no! What if it came on January 2nd, 1990?
Was this in arcades?
No.
Okay. Damn it! I don't even want to think about the magazine anymore. I'm gonna pretend like that question didn't happen. Was this game on exclusive to one platform?
Yes.
Was it Super Nintendo?
No.
Was it Genesis?
No.
That's good.
Was it NES?
Yes.
Late NES game.
Yeah.
Yoshi.
It'd be Yoshi. Or Yoshi's Cookie or Wario's Woods.
The three. Late NES game. Dude, that's a really good... Yeah. We zeroed in on a really good
thing.
Was
this made in Japan?
Yes.
Is it developed by Nintendo?
No.
Ooh.
Does this game have prequels?
No. That's 10.
What is
that? Wow, how are we already at 10? It's going terrifyingly
fast. Well, because we know a lot about it now.
Yeah.
Wow, but I'm stuck. I'm not sure that I can think of any late NES game. I mean, I guess 90 is not that late. It's like 91, 2 is when you're really in like late territory.
Oh yeah, there's so much from 90 onwards.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
But not made by Nintendo and made in Japan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is the developer still in business?
Yes.
So Mega Man 5, Mega Man 6
doesn't have prequels.
Doesn't have prequels.
Oh, the answer to prequels is yes.
I said it does not have prequels.
Yes, there are no prequels.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Mega Man does have prequels. Sorry. Oh, my God. Yes. Okay.
It's the easier way to say that, but we talked about prequels earlier in this episode, so I was making a little goof.
I like to really make my mark on 20 questions. I'm really helping out on this one.
Is this based on a license?
I think so. I'm nearly.
It sounds like Little Nemo the Dream Master.
Ooh. Okay.
I don't know.
Is this a Capcom game?
Yes.
Yeah, that's what it is. Can you ride animals in it?
Yes.
Okay.
Are you in your pajamas?
Yes.
Is this Little Nemo the Dream Master?
It is Little Nemo the Dream Master.
Wow.
Nicely done.
You nailed that one.
1990 Capcom game.
I've never heard of that game in my entire life.
It's cool. It was a cool game. I remember a big spread in Nintendo Power about it.
Yeah. So you know how Disney made a bunch of...
Mm-hmm.
Capcom and Disney made a bunch of games together? They made these beautiful games, DuckTales and stuff like that. But this was a game that Capcom worked on with an animation company that wasn't Disney, but it ended up being developed by the same people as Mega Man, everything too. And it was felt like one of those Disney games. And you're a little boy, and there was like a movie out at the time, and it was from.
Was there a Little Nemo movie?
Yeah, it was like an anime movie at the time, but there was it was from a series that went way back.
Yeah, I think of it as like The Adventures of Tintin or something, like an old-timey comic strip or something.
And you're like, you're a kid, and you're in dreams, and the first level is like these huge mushrooms and a bunch of little animals. And each animal, you go up, and they have big, big, super D faces and eyes. They look really cute. And you throw candy at them, and if they eat the candy, then they'll turn into your ally. And you can hop on them. You can get on a gorilla or a big lizard or like all these other things. And you're like, ride them. It's really cool.
Wow.
That's a cool game.
You learned.
Yeah, seriously.
Thank
I'm
you.
I'm happy to help you guys. I really carried us on
that
one.
Amazing Capcom music.
Yeah.
Every song I have playing in my head right now. It's so good.
Thank you for the suggestion, Gerald from Seattle. And that is all the scoops we have for you this week. I will be in Austin this weekend at Austin City Limits. If you happen to be there,
cool.
Oh man,
give me a high five.
I need to get down there because one of the last Pokemon I need can be caught there.
I'll catch it for you.
Okay. Deal.
Andrew's thinking about it. It's like, can I?
I have been thinking about flying
give,
to Europe
give,
by way
give
of
my phone
Florida,
for the weekend.
Yeah. I could.
You're gonna have such good food down there too.
Oh yeah,
great.
Yeah, the food there is amazing.
Some queso.
Can I get torchies?
Oh, awesome.
I like Austin a lot.
But thank you, Justin. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. My name is Damon. Remember, you can always reach us at the email address, gamescoop@IGN.com, and we are out. We'll be right back. strangers are just animal friends you haven't met yet.
Exactly.
What about this bear? He's never going to be your friend.
Oh, yeah, that dude's a stranger for sure.
Let me see that bear.
Fuck that bear.
Yeah, I would fuck that bear up.
No, it's a different game.
Don't fuck the bear.
Fuck bear is an option in King's Quest V.
Fuck bear.
That was actually the subtitle of the Japanese version.
That wizard is totally a useful.
That's
one,
like Leisure Suit Larry. It's like yep. Talk. Hey.
Fuck.
Like, fuck. Okay. Fuck pinball table.
All right, we're rolling. Here we go.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to Season 1, we are thrilled to announce the launch of Season 2. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make Season 2 even more memorable together.